Good morning, Hope Church.
Good morning.
Hope everyone is enjoying the nice fall temperatures. Let's think about that place that the Lord has prepared for us.
Jesus changed my
Calvary.
Pay the price for all my guilty.
Who would care that much about me?
Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a way where there ain't no way.
Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is great.
And the good news is
I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
this time we're going to prepare our hearts and minds for the communion. We're going to ask Danny Rogers so he'll come and take us before the throne of grace.
Let us bow, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come thanking you for the many blessings of life for this week and for all you've done for us. Lord, we just lift up those in need to you. We pray that as we go through this service this morning that we'll be inherit your word and spirit and just give Devin the words we need to hear. Lord, please be with all those in need. And as we take communion, may we praise and give you the glory for this opportunity. And Lord, forgive us where we failed you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. You're going to let an old man get up here and sing now. I'm going to do you a song. Of course, a lot of you probably know it. But it's a place I long to see. Don't you?
Yes, Lord.
And I know someday I will, and there's going to be a lot of people there that's waiting on me. So I'm going to sing to them right now, if it'd be all right with you. I'm kind of homesick for a country to where I've never, ever been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, and time won't matter anymore. Sing it out, kids.
View of land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land.
It seems I'm looking across a river to where my faith shall end in sight. I've just a few more, I can't count them, a few more days to labor, and I will take my heavenly flight. I'm looking forward to it.
Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal.
Part of this next song for me is the hallelujah part. It's the bridge part. Just sing it loud as you can. For everything that you're going through, everything that is hurting, know that He is waiting for us.
Yes.
He is there for us to hold us mm-hmm. in His hands.
It's the highest praise.
If I had only known the last time would be the last time, I would have put off all the things I had to do. I would have stayed a little longer, held on a little tighter. What I'd give for one more day with you. Thank you. picked up your share of scars along the way. And now you're standing in the sun. Fought your fight and your race is run. Pain is all a million miles away. Only stars in heaven all belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing.
Hallelujah. It's the highest praise. So if you want to give him some praise, give him a hallelujah praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The only scars in heaven. We better let that one alone. We have any first-time visitors with us this morning? I should raise your hand. We have one over here, one back there. We welcome you. Someone on the hospitality committee, if you all get them a gift. Miss Rita, if you'll be coming forth, and I forgot there's one other going to be, huh? Miss Gloria, if you'll come forth, get ready to make your announcements.
Okay, Lindy, you made us all cry. Thank you very much. I was doing pretty good. I looked up here and these two girls were crying, so you did great. I've got three announcements, and I had to write them down or I would have forgotten them, so... We've got a special speaker by the name of Adam Barber coming next week, and I'm really looking forward to it. I met Adam in some of his darker days at the place where I work, and his change in life has been amazing, and I can't wait to hear him talk to y'all and give his testimony. We're also having a meal. I think the meat is going to be provided, so we need the families just to provide the sides and the desserts. The meat and the drinks also are going to be provided. So if y'all would just come up with some casseroles or vegetables, that would be great. And Mary wanted me to announce that there would be pictures next week, directory pictures, 1 hour before and 1 hour after the service. And that's all I have.
Good morning. My name is Gloria. We've got a couple of things that are coming up for the ladies. On Tuesday nights, what we're doing is having a prayer time for the next 3 weeks. So Tuesday evening from 6:30 till 8, we'll be gathering in there. Cindy, is there anything you want to add about the Tuesday prayer? Bring your Bible and a paper and pen. And what we will be doing is praying for you, but then we will also be praying for our community, for this church, for our nation. So please come. It is just a time of real simple, but we will be praying together. Second of all, what we're going to be doing is getting ready for Christmas. And we're going to be doing, again, on Tuesday evening, starting November 30th, and we'll do it for 4 Tuesdays, where we'll have a time where we gather, and what we do is we're going to be looking at what does it mean for us to have Jesus come and the sacrifice that he made, but also the blessing that we receive because he came. So again, Tuesday evening, 6:30 to 8. And then finally, we're going to be doing a Make It and Take It event on Saturday, December 4th. Melody, are you in here? Melody is back there. We're going to be having the opportunity to make 4 different Christmas crafts, but we just need for you to sign up ahead of time. So Melody will be at this table here with a sign up. The cost is very reasonable. It'll be $2 per decoration or ornament. Plus, if you want, bring a plate of Christmas cookies, and store-bought is absolutely fine. And that'll be from 9 till 11, but we just need to know how many to be prepared for. And if you miss Melody, then I will be outside with another sign-up sheet. So we just get an idea of how many will be coming. That's all I got. Yes. What? Oh, the deadline will be the 21st of November. November 21st is the deadline. And you can get in touch with either Melody or me, and we'll give you our numbers if you need. Thanks.
Thank you, ladies, for those announcements. If there's nothing else, we'll have our meet and greet. Meet and greet. I'm all jacked up now.
No, I am too.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
velocity and force and gravity just takes care of it. They come right to you, don't they? They just come right to you. I've heard police officers do that from time to time with unruly folks in the back of the car. Not sure there's a cage. Tap the brake, and they all of a sudden they're not as unruly. We have talked about experience. It's okay. It's who we are. We've kind of joked about this before here, how that, you know, Sunday mornings can be difficult. Now, Angie and I are in this most wonderful season of life in that we have nobody to get ready but ourselves. It's taken us, you know, several years and three kids, but finally we just got to worry about each other. And we drive separately, so we're not in there hollering at each other. We've kind of got that figured out. But some of you are still kind of there. And even sometimes, even without kids, you may still be there. And that just whatever can go wrong on Sunday morning goes wrong. It just does. The curling iron doesn't work, or you know the heat in the house isn't working correctly, or what you was going to wear was super wrinkled, or it just goes on. You know, no milk for the cereal. It just goes on and on and on. So there's a very good chance that somebody in this room or somebody sitting at home, and maybe that's why you're still at home because it's happened. You've gotten up and your morning has just started off. It's not gone smoothly. It's just not. It's not how you know you had planned. And so that carries over into the car as you are coming to church. Maybe you're trying to finish your makeup, or you're trying to get your hair combed, or you're trying to get the kids. And it's hell is what it's a vehicle of hell is what it is when you're coming to church, and you're just everybody's upset. And then you pull up to the front of the parking lot, and there's some folks in the parking lot, and you get out and you're just screaming at each other. But then all of a sudden you act like everything is great. How y'all doing? We're good. How you doing? Blessed. We're super blessed. We're wonderful. If I was any better, I'd need to be two of me. All that old mess, and you've lied, and you've said that, and you know that it's not true. Bible says in the book of Revelation, liars go to hell, so you need to be very careful about telling those untruths about how you feel. We all understand covering up. We understand, somebody was talking the other day about folks who, someone in a very serious note, it was discovered that they're going through a divorce. And someone said, gosh, I thought they seemed so happy on Facebook, or seemed so happy on Instagram. And what seems to be, and what be, as we all know, it's just not always that way. This may have something to do with the way that we were raised, whether you were raised in church or not, or maybe just your family. And that is, somehow deep down inside, we have come to the conclusion that being honest with folks isn't spiritual. Because there are times when you may ask me how I'm doing, and deep down inside, I know I should, if I'm honest with you, I'm going to say, I ain't doing too good. And then I could go into detail as to why my life isn't real good at that moment. It may be my relationship. It might be my children. It might be my finances. It might be my health. It might be a friend situation. It might be a job situation. And if you have, you know, how much time you got? Because if you want to know how I am, and you know people who are like this, and so therefore you don't ask them how they are, because you know there goes an hour of your day, because they're going to tell you. But most of us don't do that. We do the I'm great. We do the smile. I'm fine. Everything is good. Because that's the spiritual answer that we think that we are supposed to give with regards to our emotions. That you shouldn't be transparent. You shouldn't be real when someone asks you that question. And the fact of the matter is the people who do not want to talk about their emotions are the very ones who need to talk about them the most. That probably speaks to a lot of men here, because that's just our nature. But no doubt it speaks to some of you ladies as well. For the next few weeks, and this may take us right up to Christmas, and you think, golly, that's a long way away. It's not. It's a little over a month, you know. But over the next several weeks, we're going to allow David, King David, to take us through a journey in the Psalms where he essentially shares with us all of his emotions. He shares with us the ups and the mountaintops, and he shares with us the downs and the valleys. And hopefully we're going to be able to, over the next several weeks, we're going to be able to make application as to how some of these things might apply to us. And I have no doubt in my mind that we will deal with at least one emotion, 1,000%, that we will deal with at least one emotion over the next few weeks that will hit you right here. It's just going to. So I would encourage you, if you can, to be here. Certainly if you can't, continue to encourage you to watch online. Here's one of the things that we need to get out of the way as we begin to understand this and unpack this, and that is this. Feelings and faith don't always seem to go together. Feelings and faith don't always seem to be coupled, if you will. Growing up in church the way that I did, church, and whatever flavor it was, you probably grew up maybe in church too. The one of the things that seemed to transcend denominational lines is that you were taught that this feeling is right, this feeling is wrong. Perhaps you were taught, or it was said to you, well, you shouldn't feel that way. Or you should feel that way. And so as we are conditioned to be like that, as whether it's verbally stated or it's just assumed in the preaching that we heard or the teaching that we received, somehow we became somewhat conditioned, because you know how an environment will do you. If you spend enough time in that environment, if you spend enough time around that group of people, you will begin acting like that environment. You will begin having the same traits of those people that you spend the most time with. You just will. And so if you grow up in a situation, certainly spiritually or religiously, where you're supposed to be this strong, confident, courageous, faithful person, you see everybody else doing that, but deep down inside you're like, I'm not that way. Brother so-and-so seems to just be a rock. Sister so-and-so just seems like she's got it all together. And I'm over here, even though I'm faking, I know that I don't measure up. But guess what? They're thinking the same thing about you. In seeing you with this calm look and this low anxiety, you think you've got it all together. We're all thinking it about each other while we're falling apart inside. And one of the great disservices that we have done as pastors in the church is to let, you know, folks feel like, hey, if something's wrong in your life, if you feel a certain way, then you just must not have enough faith in God. If you feel like this, or if you feel like that, or if worry has overcome you, or if anxiety has become your dark valley, then your relationship with God just must not be where it should be. Because if it was like mine, or the rest of us who have it all together, your life would be perfect. We've somehow insinuated all of that. But that's certainly not the way that it is. So we start pretending by lying about how we feel. I'm just going to say whatever I think you expect me to say. If you come up to me and say, how are you doing? I'm going to say, I'm doing great. If you come up to me and say, how's things? I'm going to say, they're wonderful. One of the greatest creations to me in my generation or in my season of life are emojis. I can't text without them. If you get a text from me, you're going to get some kind of emoji probably. It's not within my power to be able to just send words anymore. You got to see a visual of how things are going for me in my day. And some of you know this, right? You know it. And so you may come to me and say, you know, how you doing? And I want to show you this emoji. Mom, I'm doing great. Everything's good, you know. When in reality, deep down inside, dadgummit. Deep down inside, I feel like this. You'll see my emoji here in just a second. But this is how I really feel. And so this may describe some of you even this morning. See, I'm looking at you right now and you're laughing and you're smiling, and I'm thankful that we can do that in this church. We can have a good time. And you may be kind of laughing along with us, and that first emoji is what we see, but this is really what's going on inside right now. It's a fact. If there are this many people in this room, and certainly those of you who are watching on Facebook or YouTube or the website, this describes a lot of us. It just does. Or maybe someone looks at you and you're like, you're calm and you're cool and you're collected. This is what you kind of put on the outside, but on the inside, you feel scared. Right now, some of you sit here and you're scared about something. You're terrified about something. You're anxious about something. You're unsure about something going on in your life. And we all have those moments. And this right here will rob you of your sleep. Some of you may have gotten very little sleep last night. It had nothing to do with, you know, sleep apnea or what. It has everything to do with you. Something is on your mind and it will not let you rest. We have all felt that, to where you see the clock just strike every hour and you're like, I got to get and go to work in 5 hours. I got to get and go to work in 4 hours. I got to get up in 3 hours. I got to get up in 2 hours. And you understand. Or maybe there's this one where you're just kind of at peace. A lot of people in Colorado probably look like this. I'm just saying, not y'all are too, but I'm just saying, you know, because they have legalized. So a lot of people are just really chill and relaxed on the outside. But on the inside, this is how they feel. And I know some of you, and this is really how you feel. I know you. I've heard you. I can read the bubble above your head. So this is where some of you are at. And so we are conditioned to not really feel happy or sad, to not really feel grief or joy. We've become emotionally numb because we don't want to let anybody in. Have you ever known someone? Have you ever been the person that just kept this wall up? You know people this way, or you've been this way. And for whatever reason, there's been some past hurt, some past trauma, some past injury, and you're like, I'm not going to let that happen to me anymore. I'm just not. I'm not going to let them in. I think they're nice people. I think they're godly people. I appreciate their friendship. But I'm not going to let them get close enough to me to hurt me any longer. And so I'm just going to lie. Things are great. Things are good. I'm not going to say one negative thing about my life, because then you're going to want me to expound on it. You're going to want me to explain. So therefore, I'm just not going to say anything, but things are great. Keep moving. Emotional health is absolutely it is a major key, I believe, in our desire to be spiritually mature. Emotional health is a major, major thing. And there again, I know that I'm speaking to so many people who have had to deal with learning to manage and to control your emotions. And we all have them. And some of us tend to manage and control our emotions perhaps a little bit better than others. Fact of the matter is a good chunk of the book of Psalms, it's really David's diary of emotions. The man, he goes through a whole bunch of them. Now, we're going to talk about those over the next several weeks. But what I want to do today as we kind of begin is to just simply take a look at the life of Jesus, really toward the end of his life, and how he handled and managed emotions. If you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 is where we will be spending most of our time today. I dare say there's a lot of folks who would think, well, why would you want to talk about the emotions of Jesus? Somehow that doesn't seem very spiritual. That Jesus, you mean Jesus had emotions? That you mean there were times that Jesus felt some of the ways that I have felt? And my answer is yeah. And isn't that great? I'm so thankful to be in contact with a Savior who was also a man. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus never did sin. Not one time. That's hard for me to fathom because I do several times a day. Bible says he didn't do it not once in 33 years. But be that as it may, you don't have to be a sinful person to feel emotion. I've told you this before. I really enjoy Max Lucado, and some of you have read many of his books. He can absolutely paint a picture with words unlike any other person that I've ever read. He's got lots of books. And in one of the books, he talks about a lady who was super mad at him because either in a sermon or in a book, he said something about Jesus as a teenager probably had acne. And this woman flipped her lid. There is no way my Savior had acne. She envisioned him as being this pristine, perfect, and in some ways, obviously, he was perfect, but he still was human. Listen, folks who research such things have told us that they believe more so now than ever. We used to be taught that Jesus was probably a carpenter, right? We've all heard that, right? When in all reality, there's as good of a chance, if not greater, that he was actually a stonemason. Okay? He was in construction. Let's just say that. Let's just level the... He was in construction. What do construction peoples, men and women, what do their hands look like? Well, they're pretty rough. Cut and splintered. What do their bodies look like? They're probably pretty good-sized folks because they're carrying heavy stuff all day long. Bible even says Jesus wasn't that favorable to look upon. Okay? So the human element of Jesus is what you and I can relate to. That's what we can hold on to. That's the thread that we can pull on because he understands. He doesn't understand sin. He understands temptation, right? Soon as he was baptized, the devil came and tempted him. But being tempted and giving into temptation are two entirely different things. So, there was someone who came up with this theory that Jesus in Scripture shows at least 39 different emotions. Now, we're not going to name them all today, but 39 different emotions. Now, those of you who have raised teenage daughters, you could go through all those in just like an hour, right? I mean, in just like an hour. You're up, you're down, you're happy, you're happy, yeah. So, at least 39. And so, as we unpack this just about Jesus today, we will find that our feelings are very much a part of our faith. Now, some of us were raised to keep those squashed. You don't show emotion in worship. You sit on your hands. You don't smile a lot. You sing almost sadly. And we just didn't show much emotion. Now, some of you were raised where you showed lots of emotion. And some of you were somewhere in the middle between all of us. When Jesus was approached by the Roman centurion who had great faith, there's no doubt that Jesus delighted in that faith, that it made his heart swell and happy, that this Roman was someone who showed faith in the Almighty God. When he was standing on the Mount of Olives looking over Jerusalem and thinking and contemplating about how the people continue to turn their backs against God, no doubt he was sad. When he would hear the Pharisees and others hold religious tradition much higher than just life transformation. Religious tradition was more important than life transformation. It made him angry, so much so that in a temple, we know the one time that we hear that he was angry, he flipped the tables. And by the way, it says that he had a whip. It doesn't say that he just picked one up somewhere. This was premeditated. It said he fashioned this whip before he went in there. He took his time to make... He said, I'm getting ready to go in there and clean house. So I'm going to sit here. And he created a whip that he was going to use. It wasn't just a happenstance. He took his time because he was mad. He was angry. All of us know, for the most part, probably about the story of Lazarus and how that even though Jesus... And Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but that didn't stop him from crying. Shortest verse in the Bible, two words. Jesus, he wept. Jesus suffered and understood what it was to feel shame on the cross, not his, but ours. And so there's all these emotions, loneliness and love and pain and discouragement. It goes on and on and on and on and on. And these emotions, let me help you to feel better today about wherever you are emotionally. They're not associated with you or I being weak individuals, but rather simply by us being human beings. See, Jesus felt those just as we do. One of the things that I learned from one of my counseling buddies, one of my best buddies in the world, is that feelings are neither right nor wrong. They just are what they are. Feelings are neither right nor wrong. It is what it is. And so the dilemma that we face as Christian people, as those who want to try to follow Christ, is if that is true, and if you accept that fact, that things are neither right nor wrong, they just are what they are, how do we manage those? How do we manage them? Well, the Latin word for emotion is emovir, E-M-O-V-E-R-E, and that simply means to move. Emotions mean to move. And so therefore, if you begin sorting it out like that, God has allowed these emotions that we are feeling, and there's no doubt, probably more than 39 emotions being felt right now in this very room or in the living rooms where folks are watching or riding down the road when they're watching. God has provided those emotions for us to move us. To move us. So, if emotions, let's think of it this way, if emotions are a vehicle, if right now have you heard emotional roller coaster? So if emotions are a vehicle, where are they taking you? If the emotion that you feel right now, if it's like a vehicle and it's taking you somewhere, where's that destination going to be, and can you change that? Can you slow it down? Can you speed it up? If you have a great deal of anxiousness right now, where is it taking you? It'd be like, and it is like, coming up to a sign like this. You can go one of two ways. You come to this, you know, a T in the road, and you either got to go right or you got to go left, and it's your choice. You're the one steering it. Unless you're driving a Tesla, I guess, or some of these other smart cars. But for the most part, if you're old school, you're the one got the hands on the wheel. And so if you are in a vehicle of anxiety, which way is going to be best? Is it to go left, to continue down this path of being anxious and not getting any assistance and not telling anybody about it and keeping it all to yourself? Or is it that you maybe take the right where you go and you try to seek some assistance, you try to get some help, you talk to a doctor, you talk to a friend, you talk to a pastor, you talk to somebody? See, you have a choice. Now, is it automatically going to go away? No, but it sure ain't going to go away if you don't address it and deal with it. Anxiety or guilt or anger or loneliness. Which direction are you going to go? And I believe, and I think it's true for all of us, that emotions give us an opportunity to get closer to God. It just does. Matthew chapter 26 is the scene of the garden. The final week of Jesus, and we've just finished a series where we were talking about how that Jesus sort of he was trying to direct the disciples as he was about to leave them. So we find ourselves in the same exact context, in the same situation. So we know that Jesus has taken some of his closest friends, just a couple, two or three with him, to the garden. It says in verse number 36 of Matthew chapter 26, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, along with him, and he began to be sorrowful, and he was troubled. Verse number 38, then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and watch over me. I don't know when I did it, but at some point in time, I underlined in my Bible, overwhelmed. Now, I want you to think about this a minute. Here is the Son of God, yet, as we speak in Trinity language, here is God. And He's overwhelmed. Let that sink in a minute. Isn't that amazing? To think about an individual that could have bypassed all of that. A lot of stuff he could have bypassed if he wanted. But the Bible says the Son of God, your Savior and mine, as a 33-year-old man, at this moment in his life, he was overwhelmed. And I won't dare to ask any of you to raise your hand if you have ever felt overwhelmed by some emotion. Every one of us understand what it is to feel like this thing is just coming down on you and you can't stop it. And you don't know that anybody can stop it. You just feel overwhelmed with work. It's just more than you can handle. Don't know what you can do it another day. You feel overwhelmed with the relationship that you were in. Your marriage feels like it's just falling apart brick by brick. And more that you try to fix it, the worse that it gets. You feel completely overwhelmed. You feel overwhelmed financially because you thought you could handle it. You thought you could make the payments. You began living beyond your means. And all of a sudden now creditors are sending things in your mailbox and knocking on your door and you're getting phone calls. You're feeling overwhelmed. How do I get out of this? Transparency. Chances are if you own your own business or if you ever run a business of some kind and you have dealings with the IRS, sooner or later, some type of a glitch may come up that you didn't fill out a form correctly. You put a comma too far over. There should have been a comma past these other zeros, whatever. And it could be just a dollar or two or a lot of dollars that they say you owe us. I had such an instance once, and let me cut to the end. It got resolved. It was all good. But because of my concern for my wife, I'm like, I'm just not going to say nothing to her about this because it's pretty significant. We ain't got that kind of money. And so I didn't, but eventually it just, she figured it out because I can specifically remember a couple of different nights after this, I got this initial letter. I'm just waking up in a panic and I can't go back to sleep and I get up and walk the floor the rest of the night till the sun comes up because I'm like, how are we going to, I can't pay this. And I had a good feeling that this was incorrect, but at that time, just initially, not even thinking that I could work through it and get some, it was terrible. It sapped every bit of the peace that I had in my life. I couldn't sleep or anything. And it felt like it was absolutely crushing me. I'm going to lose everything I got. I'm going to lose my house, my business. I'm going to lose everything. And what happens is when we become overwhelmed in such a way, we become irrational. And we think, worst case scenario, they're going to kill me. They're going to come and get me, going to haul me off. And most of the time, it doesn't work like that. But that doesn't help you in the moment, right? With regards to whether it's the IRS, whether it's your in-laws, whether it's your health, whether it's something you feel, I can't take no more. And I've had a lot of people who have come to me, and I've had to go to other people and say or hear, I can't take it anymore. I cannot do it 1 second more. And I know that speaks to somebody today. That whatever's going on in your life, you may think, I don't know that I can make it another 24 hours with this. You feel overwhelmed. Well, let me tell you something. Your Heavenly Father, His Son, understands that He was on His knees. Fact of the matter is, and I like this even more so, for those of you who may be sort of new to faith or new to the Bible. The Bible is written by several different people, especially the New Testament, right? But Luke was a writer of the Gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, right? Luke was a writer. He also wrote the book of Acts. And one thing you may not have known was that Luke was a doctor. The man who wrote the Gospel of Luke and the man who wrote Acts was a doctor, an internist, whatever. Okay? And so it's very interesting how Luke conveys this Garden of Gethsemane moment. Luke renders it this way, speaking of Jesus, and being in agony, this is the same overwhelming moment, and being in agony, there's another emotion he's feeling, huh? Agony. You ever felt agonized about something? Ever agonized about something coming that you knew you couldn't stop? He prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were, it probably actually was, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So here is a doctor who wants to go a little bit deeper for you to help you to understand what the Son of Man is feeling. He is so overwhelmed to the point that he has an actual condition, and I spelled it phonetically. It may not be right. Let me see if I can say it. Hemotridosis, something like that, is an actual situation where you sweat drops of blood because you are under such agony, you are under such duress, you are under such strain, you are under such this mountain of feeling overwhelmed that you sweat blood. Now, I don't know if that makes you feel any better, but I don't see anybody yet sweating blood in here. He did. A doctor is telling us that Jesus, did he sweat blood? And so what we want to do, as if Jesus were standing beside of us, here's what we want to do in that situation. We don't want to go up to Jesus and say, get up, Jesus. Hadn't you read Romans 8:28? Of course, it hadn't even been written yet. Hadn't you read, you know, for all things work together for good. This is just a little, this little blip on the radar. Get up, chin up. You shouldn't feel that way, Jesus. You shouldn't feel that way. And so just knowing that Jesus experienced that in the garden, should begin to free us from this Christian duty of always being happy. Don't worry, be happy is only a song. It's very tough to actually live that out. Jesus doesn't say, don't feel that way. Jesus says, I understand what it is to feel that way. He's not minimizing what you feel. He's not saying that, hey, you should be better than that. You know better than that. You were raised better than that. He's not saying that at all. Not at all. He simply says, in the quiet of your most difficult moment, he says, I understand. I have felt this way as well. Now, it's very difficult to speak about emotions to a multi-generational church. And we are a multi-generational church, and praise God for that. If you have a church that just has one generation, and oftentimes a generation, they got some gray, like some of us, and that's all you got, that church is probably not going to live very long. Praise God, we got babies, we have a nursery, we have kids running all over the place. This is a good thing. Do not ever be upset if a child cries or is a bit disruptive during worship or they this or the other. Be thankful that God has them there. Do not ever, listen please, I don't say much about anything around here. I'm like, whatever is good. Do not ever look crossways or chastise a mother, a father, a grandparent who's trying with their child. Ever. Help them. Okay, so to try to explain and discuss emotions to a multi-generational church is difficult, and here's why. Because some of you are baby boomers, okay? So you came from a generation where you were taught that you just didn't deal with emotions. You kind of stuffed them down, you remained silent, you just kept this straight face, and if you were hurting, you didn't let nobody know about it. If you were sad, you didn't let anybody know about it. If you're frustrated, you didn't let anybody know about it. You're almost just this blank, lifeless zombie robot. And some of you were raised this way. You just were. And I'm not slapping you in the face or the generation that raised you in the face. I'm just simply saying that's the way that it was. Didn't make them bad people. Don't make you bad people. It's just how you were raised and taught to deal with emotions. So you just avoid them. Now the Gen X's, the millennials, the rest of us, you know, we were raised with Nirvana and Biggie. We're taught just to, you know, feel your feelings. Just let it all out. And that's not always good either. It's just not. See, the baby boomers, some of you, what you were taught to do or you just witnessed in your mama or your daddy or your grandparents is you just stuff it down. But what happens? If you stuff it down long enough, eventually it manifests itself in something. See, an alcoholic generally becomes an alcoholic because they haven't dealt with something. Not always, I get it, but many times. A drug addict becomes a drug addict because there's some void, there's something going on that wasn't dealt with, maybe properly. Not every time, but sometimes. And so we turn to that. Someone who just cannot spend enough money, cannot get enough money, cannot max out their credit cards enough, continue to spend. You know, you're putting an extra room on the side of Jeff Bezos' house because you're spending so much money with Amazon. You're trying to fill a void. You're trying to impress people who could care less. It's going to manifest itself into something. And then the Gen X's or the millennials will say, you know, that's just how I feel. You just deal with it. This is how I feel? I'm going to tell you how I feel. And I'm not going to apologize for it. And then we let all that out. And that's that's not always good either. There's a study done that says that that emotions are more contagious than the flu. Because if you're in a room with folks, if there's four or five people, whoever has the strongest emotion, whoever has the most exhibited emotion perhaps, is the emotion that will be caught by everybody else if you're there long enough. It just will be. Emotions are a gauge. They're meant to get our attention. They're meant to catch our attention. No doubt if you've ever driven a car, sooner or later you will have a vehicle to where this thing will come on. Now, we talked about this several weeks ago, and we talked about how my daddy thought the best way to fix it was just to put some black tape over it so you don't see it. So if I got black tape over the check engine light, then it's going to be just fine. But eventually what happens is this. See, that check engine light is coming on to say there's something going on under the hood and you need to deal with that. There's something going on underneath the hood that somebody needs to take care of, all right? And if you continue putting that off, then you're going to have to go see Charlie over to O'Reilly's or somewhere and get that handled. And it's probably going to be pretty expensive. Probably going to cost you a dollar or two. When if you had dealt with the check engine light when it first came on, it might be something that's not near as expensive. So your emotions are the same way. Essentially, when these things bubble up, whatever that emotion might be, God is saying there's something under the hood that you need to deal with. How many of us are running around right now with the check engine light on? I'm not talking about these things out in the parking lot. I'm talking about you. Your check engine light has been on, and you've had people try to say, hey, you do realize that check engine light has been on for several miles, right? It's fine. And you have people who love and care for you who are saying, you might ought to go get this check engine light looked at. Now, that may mean you just need to go talk to a friend. May mean you need to go talk to a counselor. You may need to go talk to a pastor. You may need to go to a medical doctor. You may need to go to a therapist. But you better get that check engine light looked at. Because it could be the sign of something significant. Real quick, and I promise, and we'll be done for today. Three quick things that we find that Jesus was. Number one, he was very vulnerable and he was honest with his buddies. He said, can you just stay with me for a little while? Can you just sit with me for right now? And I hope and pray, if you don't, let's be praying that you get them, that you have two or three friends. We're not talking about the whole church, but we're talking about two or three people when in your deepest, darkest moment of difficulty that you can call on him and say, I need to come sit with you. I need some of your time. So Jesus was vulnerable. He told them how he felt. He was honest with his buddies. Number two, he prioritized faith over feelings. That's hard. That's very, very difficult, because when we feel a certain way, then we want to go in that direction. Bible says Jesus was overwhelmed with grief, but then what did he finally say? But not my will, but thy will be done. And so he finally got to a point to where he realized that he had to put his faith even over how he felt. And you've been there, and I've been there too, to where you got to decide, you know, I feel this way, but just because it's a feeling doesn't mean it's always real to the situation. So Jesus, he prioritizes faith over his feelings. And finally, he was honest and transparent with his Father. The Gospel of Mark uses the word Abba or Abba, however you want to say it. You know what that word translated means literally? Dad or daddy. Now, I got to be honest about something. Years ago, when I was growing up, I heard a sermon or two where the preacher was saying, you should not ever call God the Father dad or daddy. And I don't do that, but I understand the significance of having that relationship. It's easy to call, you know, anybody can be a father, but it takes somebody real special to be a daddy. It takes somebody really special to be a dad. And so I think when Mark is describing this situation in the garden, Jesus says, Dad, please, can there be something else that would take place? But he said, it's not my will but yours to be done. I'm sorry, we could go on and on, but I won't. I hope that you'll continue with us in this study for the next few weeks, because I promise you, we're going to touch something that's going to cause you to be just a little bit uncomfortable. But it might just help you to learn to manage these emotions and these things that you are feeling that are just essentially check engine lights to say, let's look at this and let's try to help this to become better. God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this group of believers who are both here and virtually, who are all around the country or the world. We thank you for allowing us this time to worship together. We pray that we learn to keep our emotions in check, to not let them get the better of us, dear Lord, that we might not ruin or harm our witness to those who might see us, because we want them to see a loving Savior living through us in any and all situations in life. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for caring for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for participating in worship today. Just one real quick thing. So for those of you who don't know, this past week was the first week for, apparently it's called HOTS, which at first I'm like, HOTS, H-O-T-S, Angie said Hope on the Square, and now it makes sense to me. It sounds pretty cool, actually, you know, HOTS, you go to HOTS, go to HOTS, Hope on the Square. And so that opened this past week, and they had a bang-up week, yeah, bang up. Lots of sales, lots of good things. And so Brad wrote a really nice article in the paper, and apparently he renamed Julie to Lewis instead of Lucas, but we know who you are, and Lynn. So Julie and Miss Lynn are the co-managers, and Don sort of jumps in there as well, and we've got a lot of folks who are helping. But they had a great week. Get a copy of the Times and read that. It really, Brad did a good job of putting Hope Church in a really nice light, and that's what we want. We want the community to know that we love them and care for them and want to help in any way that we can. And if you need some information about that store, please see Julie or Lynn or Don. I'm sure they'll be happy to put you to work. There's going to be a lot of exciting things that's going to happen as a result of that wonderful, wonderful outreach on the square. So what else? So don't forget about the meal. Is that a week from today? Is that next Sunday? Yeah. So, yes, next Sunday. And so the meats will be provided and the drinks. Is that what Rita said? Meats and drinks provided. But we need everything else. We've not eaten together in a long time. 2 years. Well, whatever. We haven't eaten since COVID happened. So we just thought it's time that we move forward. We want to eat together. So next Sunday, plan on staying. Meats and drinks provided. Bring enough for you and your bunch and maybe a few other folks. Casseroles, side dishes, side vegetables, breads, cookies, whatever, doesn't matter. So we're going to eat together next Sunday after we hear this wonderful testimony from this young man, and we're looking forward to that. Don't forget to check the announcements on Facebook and on the website. And what else? I'm sure I'm forgetting some. Directory pictures next Sunday, an hour before and an hour after. Remember all those folks who are sick? Yes, ma'am. Tuesday night prayer, 6:30 to 8 is what you said. And let me tell you this real quick. Lots going to wait. So the ladies' Bible study concluded a week or two ago, and the most amazing thing happened. They said, but we want to keep meeting. but we want to keep spending time together. And that's just, it's just the most wonderful thing when our relationships develop to the point that we're like, let's just keep going. We'll figure out something. So thank all the ladies who are taking care of all of this. And I know a lot of you ladies are enjoying that time together. Thinking ahead a little bit, don't forget the Thanksgiving boxes that the youth group are putting together. Reach out to Rachel if you know of someone that you would like to anonymously maybe get a box to. And there will be a Thanksgiving meal at Papa Cajo's on Thanksgiving Day from like 11 to 1. And all you got to do is show up and tell us how many you need. They're all going to be put together. They're already being boxes. You just drive up. Donna's probably be the logistical gal. She's retired. So anyway, she'll train somebody. How about that? I guess I should have asked before I threw you out there, didn't I? But at any rate, somebody will hand you some styrofoam boxes and send you on your way. So lots of opportunity for that. Now, am I done? David, am I done? Yeah. Uh-huh. You believe? Okay. Have you got a prayer lined up yet? You do it? Okay. And so anyway, thank y'all for being here.